Welcome to Well-Versed, where we bring biblical principles of governance to governmental leaders and you. This is the Well-Versed podcast.
Serena, without introduction, I'm just going to go right to you, and then we're going to go to prayer after that, because Serena is going to put, She's going to put a face to this topic in a way that's going to pull all of our hearts together, and we'll go into prayer at the end. Serena? Let's hear from you now. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on tonight. It's a blessing to be with you all. My story starts when I am the tender age of 15 years old. I have really great parents. I was raised in an upper middle class lifestyle. We went on great vacations. I wore nice clothes. We went to private school. Everything from the outside looking in looked perfect. But inside the walls of my house, things were quite different. There was a lot of dysfunction and discord and abuse and addictions. So by the time I was 15 years old, I was feeling very neglected. I was starving for love, and I was looking for love in all the wrong places. And I just thought that my answer to it all was to have a boyfriend. And so I got my first boyfriend, and I ended up pregnant. I wasn't going to tell my parents because my mom had always told me that abortion was wrong. She used to actually carry around this little pamphlet inside her purse. And she would pull it out occasionally and show it to me and show me the pictures of the little babies inside the womb. And I believed it was wrong. My dad, he is from India, and he was a Hindu. And in Indian culture, it's an absolute disgrace to be pregnant outside of wedlock. In fact, women lose their lives over that in India still to this day. So I tried to hide my pregnancy, and my best friend's mom found out and ended up coming right over to our house and telling my parents. And my parents were devastated. They were very, very upset. And I just started to see a side of my dad that I had never seen before. I was a daddy's girl. I actually got along with him much better than I did with my mom. So to see him behaving toward me the way that he was just really broke my heart. But I've always been a very strong-willed person. And so I remember just being just so firm with my parents and being like, no, I don't want to have an abortion. I knew it was wrong. And I had always dreamed of being a mom. And I thought, well, I'm only 15, but I know I could even be a good mom at 15. I was very confident about that. But the more that I resisted, the more that I fought against their demand, particularly my dad at the time, the worse the abuse became. It became very intense in my house, to the point where my mom, she was kind of on the fence about it. At first she said, you know, me and your dad might split up over this, but you and I will get our own place and we'll raise the baby together. So I saw this battle going on in her mind and in her heart. And eventually my dad put so much pressure on the both of us that she ended up coming and getting down on her knees and begging me to have the abortion, because she said, your dad's going to divorce me. I'm going to lose everything. And everything was her comfortable lifestyle. She didn't have a job that provided the same income as he did. And then eventually my dad, every day when I would come home from school, he would just start yelling at me. And there was this one particular day we were down in the basement and he was just yelling at me and I was crying. And he told me that if I didn't have the abortion, that he was going to get a gun and he was going to kill himself. And at that moment, I just felt in my heart, like I cannot be responsible for the death of my father over my mistake. So I agreed to have the abortion, and my parents made an appointment for me to go to the Planned Parenthood of Iowa City. I'll never forget pulling up to the Planned Parenthood that day and walking in. I still remember what the flooring looked like and the walls and the furniture. I remember my parents checking me in at the front desk, and I went and sat down, and there were several other women in the waiting room, and I looked around and they all looked scared, and some were quietly crying. And when I saw this one particular girl, tears rolling down her cheeks, I began to cry. And when I cry, it's like the Hoover Dam. So I ended up bawling my eyes out, and my parents were embarrassed. And so they went up to the desk and said, "You're going to have to get our daughter back early because she's making a scene in this waiting room." So they ended up taking me back early, and a woman laid me down on the table. And you're really not supposed to see the ultrasound, but I saw it. I saw my baby on that monitor, and I saw the little flutter of the heart beating, and I began to cry again. And I looked at her and I said, "I can't do this. I cannot have an abortion." And so she ended up having to escort me back out to my parents and explain to them, "Your daughter isn't in agreement with this abortion, so you have to leave." And so that car ride home was the worst car ride I've ever had in my entire life. And I was taken home, and then for a whole nother week, the abuse continued, and it just got worse and worse. And then I got physically ill and actually had to be taken to the emergency room. I think my body was just starting to shut down because of how intense the pressure was. So I gave in once again to my parents' request, and they took me to a different abortion clinic. And I was taken back into a room with a counselor, where the counselor told me that at my stage in pregnancy, my baby was more like an alien than a baby. And that was supposed to make me feel better about what I was doing. But at that point, I had endured so much that I was emotionally numb. I just wanted to get it over with, because I just couldn't endure any more of the harsh treatment and the fear and the anxiety. So they took me back to a room and they strapped me to a bed. I remember them putting straps across me. And the abortion doctor came in. He didn't look at me. He didn't speak to me. He simply performed the abortion and he left the room. And then I was taken back into an area with other ladies who had had their abortions as well. And a nurse approached me and said, "I'm going to have to escort you and your parents out the back door because somebody that they know has arrived in the waiting room of the abortion clinic, and they don't want them to see you." To this day, I don't know who those people were, but there was something so significant about walking out the back door of that clinic instead of the front door that day. I was taken home, and I was sad. I lost a ton of weight. I bled huge blood clots the size of eggs that just scared me at 15 years old. I didn't know what to do, really. I wasn't taken back for any type of follow-up care. My parents just pretended like it didn't happen and started treating me nicely again. And we were all just expected to move on with life. Even though I wasn't walking with the Lord, looking back, I know that the Lord was with me, just like the scripture that says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted, because I was in an art class. I was a freshman in high school and I was learning how to draw. And I remember coming home after that abortion and just rocking back and forth on the floor and just crying softly. And I picked up a pencil and I picked up a sketch pad, and I actually sketched a picture of what I saw on that ultrasound. And then I wrote a little poem to my baby and I said, "Mommy's so sorry." I was just sorry. And so after that happened, I tried to pick up and carry on. I tried to become a better daughter for my parents. So my goal was to get through high school, to make good grades, to get into a college. But by the time I was 18 years old, I found myself pregnant again by the same father from the first pregnancy. And once again, that strong will rose up inside of me. And I'm like, "I'm going to keep this baby. I can't go through that again." So I decided to move out of my parents' house. I had just graduated from high school. And I hid my pregnancy from my father until I was about 8 months along, which was very, very hard. I had a horrible pregnancy emotionally and physically. I almost miscarried my daughter several times. And finally, when I was 8 months along, I had to be hospitalized just to keep her inside of me until it was the proper time for her to be born. And she ended up being born early. I was so ashamed about my abortion that I never shared with my doctor that I had had one. So she didn't know that maybe that's why my body wasn't wanting to carry a baby. I found out years later that I had an incompetent cervix because I have five children and all five of them were born early. So I learned that abortion hurt me. It hurt me emotionally, it hurt me mentally, it hurt me physically. I didn't even realize it. Now, I found Christ at 21 years old, and that changed everything. Everything about my life changed because now I had the love of God inside of me, and I was on fire for Him, and I just did such a 180 turn. And so I was in church every time the doors were open, and that whole time, though, I was still struggling with suicidal thoughts, depression, anxiety, just feeling incredibly insecure about myself. And never once did I think that it was because of an abortion. And I kept that deep, dark secret hidden way down in my heart. So it was tucked down so deeply that I didn't even think about it. So I went for years and years like that. And it wasn't until I had had my fifth and final baby and I was at a women's meeting for a women's conference coming up that I was approached by a very anointed woman of God who works in the pro-life movement. And she came to me and she said, you know, I was sitting across the room from you and the Lord just opened my eyes and showed me that you have like a cloak of death over you. And I was just kind of in shock because I didn't know really what she was talking about. I was still kind of confused. So she kept talking to me and she explained who she was and what kind of work she did. And it was at that moment that I froze and I realized that it had everything to do with my abortion. And so right then, right there, I just kind of unloaded on her buckets of tears and just confessed that I had had an abortion. I never talked about it before. And she was just so loving and kind. And she prayed for me. And she was such an instrument of the Lord in my healing journey. And a few months later, she connected with me again and said, I'm writing a book and I want your story to be in my book. Can we talk sometime? And I said, sure, that sounds awesome. But oh my, every time she would call me, I would ignore that phone call. And I didn't know why, I just freeze up and I just would not answer her call. And that went on and on. Finally, I was like, this has to be the enemy. So I picked up the phone. And once again, as I'm sharing my story with her, I end up down on the ground in the fetal position as God's just starting that restorative work in my life once again. And so through post-abortive healing ministry and Christian counseling and healing and deliverance ministry, God has healed me from the pain of my abortion. And then he placed a call on my life through it all. I had a dream that I walked into a clinic and I saw a doctor and a nurse, and the nurse is filing things and the doctor's writing on his clipboard. But right there on the counter of the clinic is a baby laying in its amniotic fluid. And it was just born. And I just looked around and like, oh my gosh, why isn't anyone doing anything about this precious baby? So I just picked it up and I held it so close to me and I kept it warm. And that was the end of my dream. And so I just began to pray and ask the Lord how he wanted to use me. to help women and to save babies' lives. And so God began to open many doors for me to share my story. I have a friend who runs in the Iowa State Capitol with a group of women called Operation Outcry. And that was actually the first place where I shared my abortion testimony publicly, was in the Iowa State Capitol in front of lawmakers and legislators. And then God just kept opening doors for me to share in that manner. And I was picked up by a media company, and I was able to go to Washington, D.C. and share my testimony on the steps of the Supreme Court and in a congressional hearing and also in the White House. And this was actually during the Louisiana versus the Supreme Court case that we were hoping would overturn Roe v. Wade. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, but I will tell you, I shared my testimony in a room inside the White House that's actually called the War Room. And I thought that that was very, very significant. There were five of us women sharing, and it was just a really precious time when everybody listening was just very, very touched. And so I just want to encourage ministry leaders and pastors to speak on the issue of life and allow women to come and share their abortion stories in church, because that's what I've been doing more recently, is sharing my abortion testimony inside churches. And it's so amazing that every time I share, I get several women who come up to me afterward and want to talk, because they've never talked about their abortion and they've never gotten healing. And I will tell you, a lot of these women are leaders in the church. They're pastors' wives. More recently, I was speaking to a group of our Black brothers and sisters in Christ. And my heart just breaks because that this issue is not being spoken of in their churches like they should be. And I had one pastor's wife come and just weep because she had had three abortions in her past. And she said, "You know, I know God forgives me for these abortions. I know He forgives me, but I'm still so broken." And my heart went out to her, because that's exactly how I felt after I found the Lord at 21 and I loved going to church. I knew God healed me from my abortion. I knew God forgave me from my abortion, but He hadn't healed me. And so I believe that this is a major part of the body of Christ that the Lord wants to heal in this hour, are the hurting and broken women sitting in those pews. And you know, the only time that I really got emotional when I was sharing my abortion story was at a pastor's luncheon, because as I stood up there, my heart was just pleading with them. God wants to heal. There's so many women. For every pastor, I saw so many women that needed healing. So thank you so much for letting me share my story with you today.
Serena, that's powerful. I'm going to ask later about your website. Would you go right into prayer and pray for women who are listening now, who need the healing touch that has come into your life? Would you pray?
Yes, Father God, Lord, I thank You that You are such a merciful God. You're such a loving God. You're a forgiving God. God, You're a God who loves the woman who's going in for the abortion, and You still love her when she comes out. And we know that Your heart is to bring restoration, to show women how loved they are. So Father, I'm asking You, Lord, to just pour out Your healing oil on women all across this nation. Oh Father, would You do a quick work, Lord, in the lives of women in every congregation, Lord. And Father God, we're just asking, Lord, after those women get healed, Father, will You cause them to rise up? Will You give them a voice? Father God, will You give them a platform so that they can open their mouths and declare justice? Lord Jesus, we're asking You to just take away all their shame, Father God, and show them that just because they had an abortion does not disqualify them from fighting for it. It actually qualifies them, because what the enemy meant for their bad, Father, you want to use it for your glory. So Father, I pray in Jesus' mighty name that you would just cause an awakening to sweep across this nation. Lord Jesus, that women and men would begin to see their great need for healing from the sin of abortion. I pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Jody Wood, would you lead us in prayer, and then Becky Jackman follow, and then Renee Springer. It's a tender moment. I don't want to break into this moment. So if we have Jody Wood, then Becky Jackman, and then Renee Springer, lead in prayer right now.
Yes, thank you, Father. Lord, I truly believe after 48 years from 1973 to 2021, God, it is time.
Yes.
I want to remind you, as the creator of the heavens and the earth, where time is in your hands. 48 years of prayer, God, we're asking that it is now time to tip the bulls in heaven, to change the law of this land, to return America back to our true law, which is our biblical mandates of the Ten Commandments and the Constitution of the United States. Father, we ask, we beseech you that you who have recorded every prayer of every woman, of every father, of a child that was lost to this horrific lie and deceitfulness of abortion on the altar to Satan himself. It's time to reverse this law for completeness of healing and restoration for all those that got caught up in this in 48 years. And Father, you are the God from the end to the beginning, and I want to speak your word to you tonight out of Zechariah 2:13. Be still before the Lord. Being still does not mean being silent, as we have heard tonight. But again, this word says, be still before the Lord, all people, because he has roused himself from his holy dwelling. God, I ask you to rouse yourself from your holy dwelling, that you will preside over this case. You will preside over the presenters presenting the case for life, and you will preside over the minds and the hearts of these nine justices to return to interpreting the Constitution based on what it says, not on what a shadow of what it meant. And so, Father, tonight we want to release into the atmosphere, into the frequencies of heaven and the whole earth, that God has been aroused. He is saying it is time. It is time. Our days are in his hands, and the overturning of Roe versus Wade is come to an end in 2021, we are decreeing that God will answer 48 years of prayer in Jesus' name.
Abba, pour out your perfect wisdom tonight on all nine of the Supreme Court justices. Redeem our nation, Lord. Help us turn to you to oppose that which is evil and to do that which is good. May the Dobbs case be a vehicle for our collective redemption, an opportunity to right every wrong of this nation. We are grateful tonight for our Justice Clarence Thomas, for his years serving on the Supreme Court, and for, we're remembering right now, the help you gave him to overcome adversity in his early years, and out of those trials, you met him and strengthened his faith. We decree that he would not grow weary in this hour of doing good, and that he would continue to be an advocate and defender for the voiceless. Release a fresh grace on him tonight. We pray tonight for Justice Alito. Release your divine wisdom to discern what is just and merciful. Embolden and empower him with the ability to articulate the truths he upholds. We decree that he will continue to uphold the value of all human life. We lift up Justice Amy Coney Barrett. We thank you for shining your light on her and positioning her to the Supreme Court as an answer to the prayers of so many. We are grateful that she is so devoted to you, her family, and the profession, the Constitution. We pray for her marriage and her family and all of her children. We ask that her role as a mother and justice would be an inspiration to women around the world. We thank you for Justice Neil Gorsuch. Abba, grant him discernment that he may apply his moral and legal convictions to the Dobbs case with great wisdom and grace. We pray Ephesians 1 over him, that the Lord would open the eyes of his understanding and would enlighten him on this case. We decree he will govern according to heaven. We pray for Justice Brett Kavanaugh. We are thankful for his deep roots of faith. We release continued strength, wisdom, and a fresh encounter in his work on the Supreme Court. Equip him mentally, physically, and emotionally for the Dobbs case, and protect his family from slander and discouragement. We decree you will meet Justice Kavanaugh with courage. We pray for Chief Justice John Roberts. Embolden the Chief Justice to uphold the value of life. We ask that you would remind him of his own love for his children, those that were adopted, and that he would have an overwhelming reminder of the value of life and the beauty of adoption over abortion. Encounter him with the fear of the Lord. And we apply the life-giving blood of the Lamb over this case and ask for the activation of angel armies assigned to this case that release light, that breaks the darkness holding and guarding Roe v. Wade from the highest court of the land. We come before the court of heaven today and we repent for the innocent bloodshed of abortion and we cry out for mercy. Mercy, mercy. Hear our collective cries and repentance and don't give us what we deserve and judge us and judge from this on the highest court. We decree that abortion is ending. Abba, anoint every attorney who is working on this case to present oral arguments, written arguments in the Dobbs case. Release fire on these writings and the amicus briefs and those who are even now researching and compiling documents that will be presented, God. We pray that every legal argument that is written, every brief, every oral argument that is being written even now will shine the light of truth on the preservation and protection of human life. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, empower our leaders, especially every member of the Supreme Court, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. We remember. And we thank you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
And Father, I thank you for your tender mercies over your church. God, I thank you that the masks are coming off your church, God. I thank you that your church will be a place of healing and hope. God, I thank you that you're removing the death and shame cloak off of your church, God. And I thank you that you're bringing back righteousness and justice as the foundation, God. I thank you for your tender mercies and that you're close to the brokenhearted. And I thank you, God, for your church having a voice once again, a voice of healing, God. I'm asking for your voice of healing. I thank you for Serena's testimony and may that be multiplied, God. May that be multiplied as the mask come off and the voice is heard where pain can be brought into the light. And Jesus, you can bring your beautiful healing light into your church. God, give your church boldness and break the back of shame and help her come into the fullness of what you have the church to be. God, I thank you for the church with a voice. Give your church a voice for the voiceless and a voice that shares testimony, God. And I ask, God, for leaders that would stand. I ask for you to raise up leaders in this hour that will stand for life and truth. Jesus, you are the way, you are the truth, and you are the life. You are the way to truth. You are the way to life. You are the truth. And God, you are the author of life, the beginning, the author of life. And so God, just invade your church with truth, with the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And I pray for the revelation to hit your church in such a profound way that she will rise again, that she will rise in truth and be a voice.
Oh, thank you so much to you who prayed. Tom Walker, would you lead in prayer? And then we'll go to Stephen Stringer. And Stephen, if you want to just share some thoughts before you pray, take the liberty to do that. Okay, Stephen?
Sounds good. Yeah.
Go to Tom Walker and then to Stephen.
Lord, Serena and Samuel, blessed by your passion. And Father, just drawn in to this circumstance. It's a, abortion is something that we have covered together. Father, you and I have spoken about it for many years now, Lord, and the effects that it's had on the American people, the effects it's had on you, Lord, and our nation. The blood that has been spread across this land, Lord, we seek to see it covered, Lord, with the blood of our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. That's the blood, Father, that we want to see in Jesus' name. Lord, my thoughts go to the oral arguments on December 1st and the preparation that's being put into this by these attorneys on both sides, by the White House as well, which disgusts me, Lord, frankly, and we just need to cry out to you, Father, in these preparatory prayers that you're hearing from us tonight, Lord. Forgive us for the injustice of abortion. Forgive the United States, the land of our fathers, Lord. You know, I see the women going to these clinics, and I saw in my mind's eye as it was being described, you know, that they were loved and forgiven as they walked in, as they were when they walked out, Lord. Oh, Father, we do not deserve your mercy, but through the blood and the saving grace of your Son, Jesus Christ. We are so grateful, Lord. Give us courage in this hour, Lord. You know, we've heard about a need for a cultural shift in the church, Lord. The church needs you, Father God. They need pastors with gumption, Lord God, with guts, Father, with a willingness to speak in an area that's delicate, to be sure, Lord, but give them the words, give them the ideals, Lord, give them the leadership that they need, these pastors require to broach this issue as they must do, Father God. My heart goes out to Scott Stewart, you know, the Solicitor General, Lord, this man needs our support. I don't know where his heart is on this matter, Lord, or where his heart is with you, but your heart holds the heart of the leader, Lord God. You tell us to intercede for all those in authority, that we might lead more peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. So we intercede for Scott right now. We intercede for those Supreme Court justices, Father. We know that four wanted to hear this. Hallelujah. Maybe more, Lord God. We pray that be the case here, Father. We seek you out. We seek out your blessing on the all those in Mississippi that have put this thing together, Lord. A lot has to happen. Lord God, this is a global issue. We've spread the poison of abortion across the globe, depending upon what administration's in office at this time or at that time. We see the spreading of this go out, and then we see it cut off by another administration and back and forth. It's been politicized, Father. Lord God, we need you. Father, build us up, lift us up, fill us up, God, with your Holy Ghost, and give us what is required to get through, to break through, and to make the difference, God. We love you, Father. We're blessed by your guidance. We're blessed by your word, Lord. I just want to read Exodus 21, verse 20-25. It's not the snappiest scripture, Lord, but it brings it to a point for me tonight. If men struggle with each other and strike a woman with a child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet there is no injury, he shall surely be fined, as the woman's husband may demand of him. And he shall pay as the judges decide. But if there is any further injury, then you shall appoint as a penalty life for a life, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, and hand for a hand, foot for a foot, wound or burn for a burn, wound for a wound, and bruise for a bruise. Father, your word speaks clearly to us as to whether or not abortion is something that is something we should idly just allow to pass by. But it's something that we as believers need to stand upright and strong with you, Father. Bless us, Lord, in these efforts. In Christ Jesus, Yeshua, HaMashiach. Amen.
Yeah, I had a dream. This was actually last September 20th. And I just want to read this dream because it really is pertinent for right now, for the time that we're actually in. But so this was actually on 9/20/2020. I saw a gavel as large as the planet in a heavenly courtroom, and it struck the sounding block and it released a clap like thunder. Then I heard an authoritative proclamation released simultaneously from nine angels as they pointed to the earth. Justice will be served. Then as I looked at the earth from the heavenly courtroom, flashes of lightning like arrows were released. And then there was light and glory that began to emanate from the planet. As I looked, there was light that was being released. Hearts were set on fire, and a mighty awakening had begun. It was the same fire that set hearts ablaze, which also released a judgment in the earth. I saw buildings on fire. These fires were not set by the anarchists and rioting, but it was by God's fiery love for the unborn. I noticed that each building had a Planned Parenthood sign on it. And as I watched, each one of the signs began to melt like wax. And then each one of the buildings began to burn to the ground and actually under the ground until there was no foundation left. I sensed that there is a judgment that is being released in the earth because of the innocent bloodshed of the unborn, the silent screams and the cries, the prayers of the intercessors and the saints that have gone, that have been heard. The bowls of intercession have been tipped, and we will see the ending of abortion and human sacrifice and this genocide of the innocent unborn ones. Then I saw a plow begin to move the United States as things were being overturned, as a season of uprooting and exposure began to take place so that we could build and plant. And it will happen quickly. God says, don't roll over and take it, but arise and shine and radiate my glory. And this will spark a revival and a reformation that the planet has never seen. A generation that will bring about deliverance like Moses and like Jesus, whose generation was tried to being extinguished as a great outpouring of deliverance came, and billions of souls will be saved. So, Lord, we decree and declare that this genocide will come to an end. We decree and declare that this human sacrifice will find an end in this season. And I decree and declare that it will happen quickly. I bind right now the spirit of witchcraft that even come against the justices. Yes. I bind that spirit of witchcraft that would come against the state of Mississippi right now. I bind that spirit of Moloch. I bind that spirit of mammon right now in Jesus' name. And I decree and declare, God, that justice will be served and Roe versus Wade will be overturned. And I decree and declare that the silent screams of the unborn will be heard and have been heard. It's like a fragrance that's even come up before the throne of grace. And I say, Father, you're pouring out those bowls of 48 years of intercession. And we decree and declare, now is the time. This is the hour that we will see justice served. And the verdict is life in Jesus' name.
Oh, Stephen Springer, thank you. Wow, boy, are you stirring our faith. Stephen Springer, thank you. And Renee Springer, Jody Wood, Becky Jackman, Tom Walker, thank you for leading us the way you did. Samuel Green, boy, you have blessed us. We're much more equipped. Serena Dye, you touched our hearts so deeply. Serena, give us your website. And then how can people, her name is Serena Dye, D-Y-E. How can they get in touch with you so you could come speak at some event they may have in mind for you?
Absolutely. So you can go to changingtheculture.org. That's the name of our ministry. If you click on pro-life, you can read my testimony and see what we're currently up to over here in Lancaster, California. And then there's a spot where you can actually message me right on the website and I can get in touch with you.
Wonderful. Serena or Samuel, do you have any comments that you want to add, or as we're getting ready to close off, anything you want to add to what either one of you have said? Samuel?
Well, I just wanted to reiterate what a blessing it is to be with you all, and thank you all for your prayers for justice in this case. Please remember to keep praying again up through December 1st and even after, as the justices are then wrestling with the various drafts of the decision. And I'm so blessed by what Serena shared as well. And I'm grateful to be here with all of these fellow followers of Christ who are passionate about seeing life prevail.
Well, reasonforlife.org is where you can connect with Samuel Green. And then you heard a moment ago, changingtheculture.org, Serena Dye. I hope you'll follow up with them, and certainly by all means, continue to pray for them.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please read the show notes for additional details if you would like a copy of the book or resources mentioned. Remember that Well-Versed is a 501c3 tax-deductible nonprofit organization. We rely on your support and partnership.
Thank you for listening to the Well-Versed podcast. For more information, please go to www.wellversedworld.org.